Hey, it's Elle.
And M.
And you're listening to the Baby Project Podcast.
In this podcast, we will discuss our journeys as well as other warriors going through the ups and downs of infertility.
There's ups?
Yes, there's ups.
Okay. As a reminder, be kind to yourself and skip as needed. We know some topics may be triggering. Let's get talking.
On today's episode of How Much Did It Cost You to Make Your Baby? We're playing a game.
If you were to get a car, if you were to buy a car with the amount of money that we spent on trying to get a baby, what kind of car would you be driving right now? You go first.
Well, you can't hit me. I'm going to be the top big boy right now. So for those who are not our fellow Canadians, we have luckily, thankfully, in Ontario where we are, we have one funded IVF cycle, which we've both had the pleasure of using the funding for. So thankfully that has curbed a good cost. But from my journey from start to finish, we could probably have a Tesla paid for cash in full in our driveway.
And it's not the little Tesla. It's that Tesla where the doors open up in like that SUV one Tesla. It's an expensive girl.
Yeah, great. I have very expensive taste. Not my my little Honda sitting in the driveway.
I think that would be me. I'm at a used Honda right now. I'm sure. Because even with the funded, we had to pay for medication, right? Yeah. And all these other extra bullshit.
Yeah.
And so that it's a used vehicle right now.
I'm thankful you're not at a brand new like mine.
But I feel like now though, I'm going to be heading into that one in a new vehicle.
You're on your way to fancy cars.
Yeah, I am.
It's all right. Which is a perfect segue into leading into what our topic of discussion is today.
Oh yeah.
Right. So where are you at, girl? What's going on? Your second opinion, because you know, you're moving along in the journey and getting a taste for all things infertility and in the fertility clinic world.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, also we mentioned that you've done your funded cycle of IVF.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're moving into the paid territory of, you know, out of pocket for services.
Yeah. Today I'll just update everybody because it's been a while since I kind of told everybody where I was at. And then the decision to switch or to stay is, I think, something that both Elle and I really wanted to talk about, because we mentioned it in Fertility 101, and we even mentioned it, Elle mentioned it in her story how she switched. But you know, to make that decision, I kind of just wanted to share with everybody how I thought of that. And just to kind of also end off with just, it's okay to kind of switch, but we'll get into that. So in November, I think that's where I left off. We did the transfer and it failed. And I was quite devastated because that was the one where we threw the whole book, like everything we could, did this, did that. And then I went to go see my doctor in December, and I met with her and she was just like, you know, it's not you, it's the embryos. You know what? Let's go ahead with your last transfer. Might as well, because it's a funded cycle, is what she told me. Might as well. So like, oh yeah, that's so much hope going into this transfer.
Yeah.
I remember telling you that and you're like, she can't tell you that. Like, why would she just say that? So I had no expectations, no hope. Like, of course, you always have that little bit of hope on transfer day. So it's December 24th. Transfer it, kept busy over the holidays. And I think everybody saw my post of the result. It was negative. And I was angry, feeling all the different emotions. Just really pissed off because going through it all, you get your bruises, you're tired, you have to wake up early for all these appointments, and you go through the emotional roller coaster and all that. So that was in December. And then in January, my husband and I started talking, and we're like, okay, what do we want to do? Do we want to stay with this clinic, or do we want to switch? And I talked to my friend, Elle, and she said, Einstein says this quote, it's like, if you keep on doing the same thing again and again, you repeat it and expecting a different result, it's the definition of insanity. I'm like, hell yeah. Like, I mean, I appreciate that each time my doctor changed up the protocol, but I'm when we listen to the guests, I hear their connections with their doctor, and I'm like, oh, like they get, like their doctor gets them. And every time I feel like I try, I'm like, oh, she did this one time. I did feel like something, but I never really got like this connection that people were talking about. And then I'm like, you know what? Let's try it. And even in my field of what I do, like it's quality improvement. You do these cycles where like you test it, you trial it out, you analyze it. And if it doesn't work, you need to do something and change it. So I'm all about that. I'm very familiar with that. I'm not uncomfortable with that. So yes, let's make the jump. So in January, we started looking around for a new doctor, a new clinic. I looked into some of the doctors that our guests have actually tried in around the area. One doctor who particularly went through infertility herself. So I was interested in that. So I reached out to my family doctor for referral, and it was sent to that clinic. Meanwhile, I had talked to Al about her doctor and, you know, feedback from her, and she had given me some feedback on that. And then during that time as well, one of our guests who's a fertility coach had recommended a few too, which was nice because who she recommended was also Elle's doctor. So I was like, okay, that's like another kind of reassurance. So then I reached out to the clinic and a few clinics, and then they gave me back some dates. So the one doctor that I wanted to see who went through infertility herself wasn't seeing people in June. I'm like, oh my gosh, that seems so far away. Another doctor was like within the next week. And then another doctor, which is Elle's doctor, was a consult in February, and it was a virtual one. So I'm like, okay, that's trial it out. Didn't need a referral or anything like that. Very organized, I would say, the office. Sent the information, the consent forms, all that, very timely. Send the invite through. Very familiar with that system too, because we work in healthcare and we're familiar with that, how that works. And then met with him over virtual. And it was different because he spent the time to understand our story. I felt like with my previous doctor, it was very rushed. It was always rushed. I explained just to him about what I've done, my journey, very high level. And then he already kind of said like, okay, you're having like implantation failure. There could be several reasons. It could be because hormonal causes, genetic, you know, immuno things, antibodies. Like he listed a whole bunch, and he's like, I'm going to need your chart. Once you get your chart, we'll go through it and we'll kind of see what kind of plan. 4 weeks or so, because usually it takes a while for your clinic to send the results over to here, but we'll follow up in about 4 weeks. So the longest part was just waiting for the other clinic, the previous clinic of mine, to send the results through. Sent it through, and I'm going to say prices because it could range when you transfer medical records, it can range anywhere from $45 to sometimes $100, depending on how thick your file is. Luckily for me, it was about $45. She sent it through. and then followed up with him again just recently, I would say in March. And he went through the chart with me and my husband page by page. It wasn't quickly review and da 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 da. He went through each page and it was like, not too thick, but it was nice that he went through it. And he was just like, you know, you have this endometriosis that she tested. Did she ended up repeating a biopsy? I'm like, no, she didn't. And he's like, okay, well, that's what I want to do, that to make sure that there isn't that anymore. You know, like I'm looking at your, some of your numbers. It says like, you know what, according to my calculation, he put in his EMR, like you have insulin resistance. Like I'm going to get you on metformin, and how you should take this is this. So he took the time to explain it because it's hard on your stomach. So do it half doses increments. He's like, your sono's normal. Okay. And he's like, I want to do natural frozen transfer. I'm like, well, I did do natural. He's like, no, natural, like as in like no medication. Whereas previous doctor's definition of natural is like, I was still using like estrogen pastures. And he's like, you know, we might need to do a natural ERA, but we'll see how, like, how many like embryos you get. We're going to do, it was good that you did genetic testing. We're going to do that again. So he listed all these things and quite liked it. And he's like, I'm going to get you to actually see a dietitian too, just to really get like all like your sugar straights and like, you know, get your dieting and all that kind of stuff. And she can even talk to you about vitamins and food to help with like your egg quality, all that stuff that was never even offered to me in the other clinic at all. So I was happy to hear that. And then shortly after that, things moved. Like that clinic does not take a break, which I love, because usually I'm waiting and I follow the other clinic. I was chasing them. This clinic was like, oh, this doctor, your doctor said this, like, here you go. Here's an appointment to the dietitian. Here's your medication. Go start that today. Here is instructions to this, instructions to that. So I met with the dietitian and we have a pretty good plan of what you would like me to start. And then the nurses reached out to me in regards to the transfer fee or the transport fee. So here we go, money. Transporting my husband's sperm from one clinic to another clinic is, so far I just started the paperwork. So you got paperwork to like for your clinic to accept it, your other paperwork for the other clinic to release it. And then there's a $200 administrative fee. And that's not even like a courier fee yet. Like I haven't even asked about that yet. So that's going to be that. And then not to mention the storage fee. Right. And yeah, like here, I'm going to be this time around, I'm tracking my costs more closely because, hey, this time it's non-funded. And it just is so bizarre to me. And I think I was telling you, Al, it's just like, I'm keeping track of the finances a little bit more tightly because it's going to add up. And it is like buying a car, like the amount of money that you're spending, but you're not even guaranteed that you're going to get an outcome out of it. Like I can pay for renovations and I know I'm going to get like a washroom or a kitchen out of this, a car out of this. But with this, it's just, I don't even know. So that's the part that's just so scary this time around because it's non-funded.
It's like you are buying a ticket to walk into a dealership.
Yeah.
And you can look around at all the cars, but you don't know if you're going to be able to actually get a car, right? Like you just, it's IVF is an opportunity. It's a chance. So you're paying for and, you know, fighting for a chance. It's not a guarantee. Yeah. And so many people, you know, have said so many times that, you know, going into IVF or even people that don't know the world, right? It's just, oh, well, you know, just do IVF and you'll have a baby. Because so many, like, yeah, there, we have tons of successes with, because it does help you when you need that help, but not everybody works on the first, second, third time, or, you know, you do multiple transfers. In both of our cases, we have both done multiple transfers. Yeah, it's something that, you know, you go in very blind, not knowing anything about. And the second time around, your eyes are wide open and you're, you know, taking everything in and
yeah,
it all into account.
Yeah, literally like counting. Like they're already shooting out the numbers to me. So cycle monitoring, egg retrieval, all that stuff is about 11,000. Medications gonna range anywhere from 2,000 to 3,000. Then you have the genetic testing. So that's like 1,500 just for the biopsy and then 450 per embryo. ICSI is somewhere in the 11,000, I believe. So far, I want to say it's heading up to about 20,000. And I think that's what we originally said before.
Depending on if you need to do any immunotherapy stuff.
Testing, right?
Testing and treatments.
That's true too.
Those are all added. Well, they're not funded at all.
Mm-hmm.
But those are all added expenses on top of your IVF cycle.
Yeah.
When people do their transfers, right? It's in their protocol. It's in addition to their protocol.
Yeah.
And now this time around too, you pay for ultrasounds. You pay for everything.
Blood work. Depending on which kind of thing, right?
Yeah. It's crazy. I remember going through like the second time when I did the non-funded cycle and you go to ultrasound and they're like, that'll be, you know, $300 and something. I'm like, what?
Oh my gosh.
Crazy. I can't remember if that was for like a couple or for the whole cycle. I just remember there being a bill for $300 and I'm like, this is nuts. The things that we have to do.
And a lot of it, like they want payment up front first. And then like, if it's credit card, then they charge you like a fee for this. And like, oh boy. But yeah, so the dietitian costs money too, but luckily our work covers for that and are under our benefits for the dietitian. So that was good.
The dietitian through the fertility clinic.
Yeah.
Is not OHIP covered.
No,
it's fee for service.
So I had to pay out of pocket.
Wow.
Yeah. But our insurance covered it. So that was good.
Luckily, secondary insurances have allowances. But what if you don't have insurance?
It was a couple hundred. Yeah.
For one session?
One session. Yep.
Shit.
Yeah.
I better walk out that session fucking skinny.
Well, I have a goal. I mean, I have a sheet. She broke it down. It was nice. She broke down when I'm supposed to take all my meds and vitamins. Because up until this point, I just kind of just lumped them all together and just drank them.
For $200, she might be coming to your house and giving you your vitamins in the morning. She might be sending you a text message every day asking how you're doing and how your vitamins tasted.
But there were some things that I learned, like I don't like eating breakfast and I just eat a really good lunch. And she's like, no, you need to eat breakfast because your insulin will spike and causes blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay.
This is like a whole other podcast rabbit hole that we could go down, like a completely different world, right? But like you and I both have talked about the keto diet, right? And or if you're talking about like diet for egg health and fertility diet is different than keto, is different than other diets that they have out there, like a high protein, low carb. I don't know what it's called, metabolic. Like we call it, you can call it Atkins or what's the clinic that a lot of people go to? Oh shoot, I can't remember what it's called.
Bernstein?
Dr. Poon.
Poon is the diet.
Yeah, right. It's a metabolic clinic. So essentially it's just high protein, low fat, low carb. So you starve. Dr. Bernstein, you starve. And you know, all the power, this is definitely not a diet podcast, nor are we giving any health advice.
Yeah.
And you know, if whatever works for you, but I find, so like in the keto world, right, where you're doing higher fat, moderate protein, low carb, talk about intermittent fasting a lot. So like, and both you and I have had success living in that kind of realm of lower carb lifestyle and fasting lifestyle as well. So it must feel a little bit foreign for you to now do something different.
It is like eating breakfast and like, wait, taking a pill before I eat breakfast and then taking a pill after. And it's just, so now it's very, I'm very rigid. I have written it out what time and what to eat even to that point. Like it's hard eating when you don't eat.
when you don't
in the morning. To.
Yeah. I've never been much of a breakfast person either myself. Like even when I was younger, I remember being a teen and going to high school and stuff like that. And sometimes I wouldn't eat till lunch because you know, some people are just not morning. I'm definitely not a morning person. I'm a night owl through and through.
Same.
But some people just breakfast is not their favorite meal of the day. So I want to go back. I want to know more about the sperm transport. So the little swimmers
right
now are sitting at a clinic and they're going to get transported to another clinic. Do you transport them?
No.
Who transports them?
They have specifics. So my previous clinic gave me two names of two of these companies that specifically does it, and they're Canadian based. I wish I had the names here. And then the new clinic also has a list of, is it couriers that, they have a list of couriers that they use too, that are specific for reproductive items.
Who was sitting at the business table saying, let's create a business for transporting genetic materials?
Yeah.
There's money in that.
I haven't had time to actually call them and see how much the cost was, because I would share it today with everyone. Or even if you happen to know, let me know. But you know what? On Instagram, I see some of the women carrying it themselves in the containers.
Yeah, that's why I was asking. Because I'm like, that'd be so cool. You guys are going to walk with your husband's sperm. You know?
Well, it wouldn't be the first time I've done that.
It's very true. Yeah, you see them with the cryo containers,
right? Yes.
And the liquid, like the portable liquid nitrogen.
Yeah.
I've seen people in the subway and they're sitting in taxi cabs. And
yeah.
Their cars or whatever.
And seat belting it. Yeah, I've seen it.
I think I looked into, because I had talked about transferring. I had only one embryo at my other clinic.
Mm-hmm.
When I switched clinics, I was thinking about transferring the embryo to that clinic. And I think it was about in and around $1,000.
Oh shit.
All said and done.
Mm-hmm. By
the time, like you said, you have the administrative fee, the transport fee, the storage fee.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All the fees. I think it was in and around $1,000.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah. But it's like for me, it wasn't worthwhile for one embryo.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily the two clinics worked together.
Oh, wow.
My second clinic ran my protocol, and then the first clinic just did the transfer on the day that we said we had to do it on, because they housed the embryo. So but for you have enough
straws. It was 9 straws, now we're down to 8 straws.
Yeah, so you have enough, like you need to transfer it.
Yeah. Just talking about second opinions and fertility clinics as a whole, I know some people out there are maybe hesitant to switch. I didn't have any hesitation at all. But I can see how some people may, especially if they've been with their doctor for so long. Like, did you experience any like hesitation, or were you like, no, let's move on. Next page, please. Thank you. Next.
I definitely had hesitation.
You did?
Because that was, it felt, I don't know. It felt different. And you feel like when you have embryos, or even like for yourself, right? When you have your genetic material, you kind of feel attached.
Yeah.
And at that point, I mean, the clinics that you're at don't publicize like, hey, you can take your genetic material anywhere you want.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't even know if that was an option. So I felt like at first that was something that was holding me back and thinking that shit, I what am I going to do with these embryos that I have here?
Mm-hmm.
Plus you're in the funded, in the middle of the funded cycle. So
mm-hmm.
It was like, okay, what, am I even able to do this? Am I allowed? You know what I mean? In Ontario, are you allowed to do that?
Mm-hmm.
So there were a few unknowns that I was scared about. And you're not going to ask the doctor that you're not, you know, jiving with, like, hey, I'm thinking of leaving you.
Yeah.
You walk me and support me through this. I'm like, no. Yeah. So once I, had the courage to make the switch and start to investigate different places, I was also going through counseling at the time and talking to my counselor about it. So she was very supportive, and I found a counselor who specializes in infertility.
Mm-hmm.
So she was able to even give me names of clinics and doctors, and she kind of walked me through a little bit of the process as well. So that was a huge support that I relied on when I went through the change. Yeah. And then my attitude was different when I, you know, got my different opinions, because I wasn't going to be quiet. Like I was mm-hmm. the first time around. I wasn't just going to say yes, okay, without asking questions and, you know, making sure I was thorough, because like we said, you're paying for it out of pocket. Mm-hmm. But also too, I did a lot of things blindly listening to what the doctor had said. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hindsight, of course, you know, we all wish we had that, because you would do things differently, but we just wanted to make sure that moving forward, I felt comfortable with everything, because, mm-hmm. you know, you want to look back and not have regrets. And my first experience with the first clinic, I do have regrets that I didn't say things sooner.
Yeah.
I went through 8 embryos, but I didn't start thinking about switching clinics until the 6th embryo. Failed embryo transfer. And then we tried the 7th, and then they're telling me to do the same shit again after that for the 8th. And I'm like, what? I've already done 4 sonos. I've already done 2 hysteroscopies. I've already done X blood work. I've already done this. Like, what else can we do?
Yeah.
I've already blown through all of my embryos. Was there something else we can do? Well, we want to make sure that the cavity looks like this or whatever. It fucking looks the same as it did 2 months ago when I did the test. Anger kind of took over and I was like, see ya.
Yeah. Well, I'm lucky that you were there to guide me after like even the 2nd failed. Then I'm like, okay, like we need to do more testing. So that's when she had done the ERA and all this genetic testing, immunotesting, and even the new doctor, our doctor, he was like, oh, you had to initiate that? Like, that's so funny. I'm like, yeah, you were a guide for me. It helps having that support.
You don't know.
No.
You don't know what you don't know. If you don't work in this area, you don't know. I think I've said it before, even with nursing, right? Like mm-hmm. the area of nursing that we work in, I work in community, different than hospital. It's different than fertility. It's different than palliative care. So many different branches within nursing. So it's not, even though I work in healthcare and understand the terminology, I understand the medications, but like in the administration of stuff, it's not the same, you know, capacity. So if you're not in that world, you have no clue. You're going to trust your healthcare provider to guide you to get you to where you want to be, which is pregnant, right? They're the experts. They know, they went to school for umpteen years.
Yeah.
Like make it happen.
Yeah. You know, switching over even just like, when we had the follow-up, I was expecting the follow-up to be 5 minutes because that's how it always was with my previous doctor, in and out of the room, 5 minutes. That's all I got. I remember telling you guys that like I had my yellow headband to see if she would like, I would stand out. But sometimes she still would forget the history. Oh yes, your husband had ALL and she would write it down or whatever. With this physician, spent more than 5 minutes. So already I'm like, oh, I'm getting the time that I need to ask the questions. I think it was the follow-up was like 30 minutes and very clear instructions. Nothing that I was just like confused about, because sometimes I did leave confused after talking to my previous doctor and the nurses would actually answer a lot of my questions. But he did. He answered the questions with direction. And I remember asking you, like, is this right? Is he this thorough all the time? Or is it just trying to impress me on the first consult, like a first date? And you're like, nope, he's like that. Sometimes it's annoying, actually.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great quality that you want to look for in a doctor.
Yeah.
It's a terrible quality in a patient who is impatient.
Yes.
Right. Because I would always be like, okay, so we're going to go from step 1 to step 10. And he's like, no, we're going to go from step 1 to step 2. And I'm like, damn it. No, we're not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very thorough. And he's like always, his game is, of course, his end game is he wants everyone to have a baby, to be pregnant, you know, because why would he work in infertility? But he wants to make sure that he creates, well, as best as science and himself can, right? Mm-hmm. As we talked about before, there's that little moment of magic that happens that nobody can replicate. So he wants to make sure that he has the absolute most perfect, you know, perfect storm to make this moment happen. So he has all his ducks in a row.
Yeah.
Tries to anyways, possible way that he can.
Yeah.
With what, you know, situations, because everyone's situation is different.
Yeah. And another thing that I really liked that he said was, he was talking about his clinic and how he's expanding and he's going to get a lab and this, this, and that. And he's like, don't worry. Like, he mentioned something along the lines of, it's when you're, it'll be the time when you have your second child kind of thing. Like he was almost like giving me a glimpse of like, it's going to happen and it's not going to happen once, but I'm going to make it happen for you as many times as you want kind of thing. And I was just really nice to hear that, like to have that, a little bit of that hope back where I felt like I've lost it for a little bit.
Well, you've been, you know, you've been battered a little bit. You've been bruised and bumped around and beat up, you know, like four losses is a lot. Four losses is four losses at the end of the day. And, you know, you guys had hope each time and, and that's, it sucks. So yeah, to feel low and be at a low point and then you're changing. So you're in now an unknown area, jumping into a new, you know, a new doctor, a new place, new protocol, new everything, right? It's a scary, you know, to live in that unknown gray area.
Yeah. And I feel like the last, so like January, February, March, and now April, the 3 months, I felt like it's given me time to just heal. So then now that I'm going back into it, it's like, okay, fresh new start. Let's be optimistic. That's brand new everything. New doctor, new eggs, if you want to call it. New everything. And kind of go from there.
Yeah. Well, every 3 months, right? You regenerate. So yeah, you absolutely have new eggs. I mean, they're getting older.
I don't got the new sperm, but that's okay.
Bad news. But the nice thing is that the sperm is the age of your husband when he gave the sample. So they're still nice and young. They ain't getting old like your eggs inside of you.
Yeah. But, I mean, he gave a list of things that he wants to do. He's like, remind me to do this and where to do that. And just, I'll update everyone on the next steps from there. But right now I'm just kind of doing a shit ton of paperwork, holy F, of just getting started and transferring and transporting and all that.
Yeah, I'm just excited to hear what happens. You'll have to keep us posted on how you go about doing that, because maybe somebody, you know, has to do that in the future.
Yeah. So, and don't be discouraged that you have to do all this paperwork and all this stuff, because the clinics, well, this clinic anyways, really did lay it out step by step for me and my husband. It wasn't like figure it out on your own. It's like, hey, you're gonna do these forms first, submit it to me, then you're gonna do this, and then you're gonna do this. And then even with which is cool with this clinic, this new clinic, is there's an education session virtual where they go through everything in depth and any questions that you have. And then even their email layout had like little icons with pictures. Okay, on this date, do this. On this date, you're going to do this. Like, it had everything in detail, which I quite enjoy. And I have it as a reference versus the other clinic I went to. It was very verbal, some handouts here and there, but it was a lot of things that I written myself. Mm-hmm. Wasn't just as thorough as this. So I appreciate this.
I wonder if maybe because your previous clinic is quite large, right?
Yes, very large.
I wonder if they blew up too fast.
They couldn't keep up.
They can't keep up with the times as well, right? Like email communication. Even I remember like my clinic, now we're going back. Now it's been 8 years. So you're going back 8 years ago. They would hardly communicate with me through email.
Oh.
All of my stuff was phone call. I always had to go in for an in-person visit. Can you imagine every failed transfer,
every time I
always have to go into to see the doctor, and I'd have to wait fucking a month to 2 months minimum to see her because she had such a big wait list. I wonder if maybe they got too big too fast and haven't kept up with the times.
I think so.
Right. And so they just, sometimes it gets a little bit difficult to manage.
And they were all paper charts still. You're carrying this chart all over the place, like from the lab to the room and then to the operating room. Whereas I appreciate if it's all electronic, like dietitian enters her notes there, and then the doctor and the nurses can view it as well. So yeah. It's maybe more seamless that way. But yeah, that's about my experience and second opinions. And I think the best way for me to describe it is just, I guess I can tell a little bit of a story. How I see transferring clinics or seeking a second opinion is similar to me when I was in a relationship prior to my husband. So I had dated this guy for a long time. I say about 8 years before I reconnected with my husband. And, you know, the first 2 years, you don't really really notice too much because you're still trying to get to know each other. And as things come up, you're like, it was nothing kind of thing. You kind of make excuses. And then third year, like you're arguing, or fourth year, you're arguing, you're like, oh, I've already invested 3 years. I already invested so much time. We did this together, then this year, and then this, whatever, 5 years, 6 years, the same thing. I've already invested 6 years, 7 years, 8 years. Like, I don't want to start all over is what I was thinking at that time. And, you know, no one's going to get me like he does. Little did I know that there was like a lot of negativity that I didn't see that I thought was normal. Like he would say things to me like, you know, the more you're nice to people, the more I don't like you. You're saying things like that, that like I didn't know any better. And I thought I was happy. Like, no, like he's treating me right. I'm happy. So then it just enough was enough with negativity and just pure shit talking me and emotional abuse, if you want to call it. So I laughed, and then I reconnected with my husband. And like, holy shit, like this is happiness. Like this is how it should be. Like I was at first scared of doing this. Like, why are you afraid of helping somebody? Like I'm the same way. Like what, really? Like you want to help people with me? Like that's like, yeah, no, like our values align. And I think you said it best, Al, is like when it works, it just works. And it can work. It works with whether a relationship. And sometimes in this case, it's with another clinic. Like sometimes you need to just take a step out of your bad relationship or out of the clinic that you're in, open your eyes to something new, and you never know, like it might just bring you happiness in my relation, like in my relationship case, or maybe a baby in fertility case.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. And I remember too, because you were in when we first met, you were in your previous relationship still, and you know, at the tail end of it. And I remember even you coming out of your own shell a little bit more. I didn't know who you were, I guess you could say, like your previous kind of persona, just the kind of little bit, but it's like you came into your own a lot more, and like you let your own, you know, light shine. When you were with the other person, it was kind of, you know, your light was dim.
Mm-hmm. I was always afraid to be me because I was afraid I was going to get in trouble or whatever. But then, yeah, you find someone who loves you for you. And
that's a great analogy.
If someone can take away from it, it's hard sometimes to get out of that because you invested years and money into it. But sometimes you need to change and you never know.
Yeah, you have to make yourself a priority, right? You have to put yourself first. And most of it, like these doctors, they understand, they know that. And you're not going to, like, just because somebody is a medical professional doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get along with them or your values are going to align or mm-hmm. your plans are going to be the same or, you know, that you're going to just kind of connect with. I don't know if I told the story of my husband with plastic surgeons.
No, tell.
Previous episodes. He needed a plastic surgeon for something. So, I happened to go with him for one of his treatments, and I walked into the room. I sat down. The doctor didn't even look at me, didn't acknowledge that there was someone else in the room, didn't say a word to me. And the way he was talking to my husband, I'm sitting there and I'm like, I wouldn't bring my dog here. And like, you're a classic. I was so mad when I walked out of that room. I said to him, I'm like, how have you been coming to see this physician for however long it was? Right. And he's like, I don't know. he's my doctor. He does this and that's it. I go home and I'm like, no, this is not the way that it should be. And it wasn't until I had kind of, you know, shown, like talked to him about what the doctor said and how his mannerisms were. And he was like, yeah, he's kind of a dick. Yeah, I'd say. Anyway, so it took us, we got referrals for other plastic surgeons. We, you know, met with them, like interviewed them, right? Had first visits, consults and whatnot. He went through four plastic surgeons before he got to the one that he is currently working with. It is like night and day.
Wow.
Like night and day. Like he is in, the physician knows who I am. He asks for me when I'm not in appointments.
Aww. He asks how
I'm doing. Him and I chitty chat while he's doing it. Whatever he has to do, and my husband sitting there looking at me like, what? Okay, I'm the patient, but you guys have a side conversation. And like, you know, just their bedside manner is, you know, unlike anything. Just an absolute pleasure to be around this person.
Yeah.
So that just makes it that much better. Yeah, just everything about them is so much different. So my husband feels so comfortable with him. They connect. He asks questions. He will talk to him. You know what I mean? Like, what do you think about this? Or they come up with plans together. He has an input in his healthcare.
Yeah.
Before he just silently just plotted along
because
he felt uncomfortable with that doctor, but he didn't even realize it. So
until you came along. But sometimes you don't know any better, like you said.
Exactly. Yeah. So second opinions are super important. And if you feel like if something's off, it's probably off, right? And like maybe tag someone else in, have your partner come with you to one of your appointments or listen in, or, you know, even a friend, a mom, a family member, you know, anyone, and just kind of get their opinion on what they're seeing.
I think that kind of wraps up my update and just what the advice we have for all of you in regards to second opinions and seeking it. And I just want to end on like one note that like with my husband, his family doctor originally said he just had allergies. So seeking a second opinion saved his life because we went and got an eye doctor to take a look and he's like, whoa, something's up, go to the Emerge. So I'm not saying that it's second opinions are life changing. But in this case, it did save my husband's life. So don't be afraid. You're not offending anyone. You look out for yourself first.
Yep. And I have a question unrelated to that,
which,
you know, so moving forward, are you going to be sharing in real time as things are happening?
Heck yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Big things, because I don't want to update you guys every week just like nothing. I'll try to do it in like chunks. Today all I did was a cycle monitoring ultrasound.
Yeah.
Do you mean on Insta or podcast or both?
Both. We can do both.
Yeah, we can do both. Yeah, you guys can be on the journey with me. We haven't done that before, so
No, my things were so like so delayed. And then with your previous transfers and stuff, it was kind of like after it happened, we posted about it.
But that's cool.
We're going to do real time. Everyone's going to be able to walk through it with us together.
Yeah, I love it.
You and I together.
I appreciate it, actually. It'll be good.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I'm very excited about this next chapter that you're going into.
I am too. I'm optimistic. This is gonna happen.
Yeah,
it better fucking happen.
It's a new season. It's a new everything.
It's true.
A new beginning, right?
Yeah.
And we just want you all to remember that in any project, including the baby project, you must take things one step at a time.
Thanks for listening. Got a question for us? Or perhaps you would like to share your story and be a guest on our podcast? Feel free to connect with us by emailing us at thebabyproject_@outlook.com or DM us on Instagram @thebabyproject_. Thanks for listening.